What's up, world? It's your boy Lee Haight, driving down the road, man, helping people go from good to great, improving every single day on an obsession with progression. And this is the industry podcast, the Storm Restoration's only place to get the inside scoop of what's going down straight out the oven. Today, we're going to be talking about Florida, $100 billion hurricane, all the things that's involved in taking over and dominating the market. We're going to be talking about assignment of claim, what it means to get it, how not to use it, and what basically you're up against, because there's a lot of people out there abusing it. Okay. Number two, wind damage. I think wind damage is applicable to everybody all across the United States. We had a nor'easter come in this week. It actually caused catastrophic hail, wind damage throughout the Northeast. And so I think it's very relevant that we talk about wind damage strategies. And that's what we've learned down here over the last 3 years in Florida, getting roofs bought. Here in Florida, we got some unfair advantages. But we're going to be talking about wind damage to composition shingles, tile shingles, and the most important, flat roof systems. I'm with special guest Alan Charity.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for having me, Lee.
Yeah, buddy, we're going to be talking branding. We're going to be talking marketing. And today we're going to be focusing on Instagram, the biggest place to grow a young recruiting audience, the biggest and like most expansive place to begin to grow. Maybe you're following this Daily Diamond and you're real involved in Facebook. And that's awesome, because really that's the best place to be. But more importantly, we're going to talk about Instagram, how to draw your Instagram following. And I'm going to be real with you, man. I didn't even start really trying to grow my Instagram following until about 1 year ago. Okay, so 1 year ago, I really started posting more on Instagram. Started, you know, it's weird on Facebook. You don't even have to use hashtags. So we're going to talk about, you know, just some different things you can do to use Instagram to grow your following, and how to use it to get recruits and deals. All right, guys, it's going to be an epic episode. I'll catch y'all here in just a second. We're going to put you a little hardcore door-to-door motivational track. Check this out. Get pumped up. Okay. Using this Anchor FM app can make you want to beat your head with the cell phone sometimes. Jesus, just lost this whole little section of content. So I'm going to be more to the point this time and waste less of your time. We're talking about assignment of claim and how it's used, how it protects you, how it can save you, how it's transformed my life. And basically the huge epidemic of contractors out here not knowing how to properly service a client, not knowing how to properly service and use a contingency and build agreement. And so I want to talk to you about the assignment of claim. Here we are in Hurricane Irma. There's $100 billion in damage in 5 years. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely come here and take a look. But you can use the assignment of benefits in your home state, and it can prevent you from losing a deal. It can prevent you from being prosecuted for acting like a public adjuster, and it can allow you to attack the insurance company with your full power. So what's the biggest problem, man? I mean, it's simple, right? Assignment of benefits. I, the insured, assign you, the assignee, the benefits of my insurance claim. I assign you the rights to sue the insurance company, and now you are the quarterback of the claim. This, without a build agreement, essentially gives you the right to their claim. So right now, obviously, the first objection is, why in the hell am I going to assign you the benefits to my claim? Now, let's be real, people. Any single person that makes claim, it doesn't want to give it away. So you have to be very, very diligent about explaining what you do, how you do it, why you do it, and then ask for the assignment of benefits in the transaction. A lot of times, we don't even make it a big deal. It's just another form to sign. Even though it sounds like a big deal when we're talking about it, how important a piece of paper is, in the sales process, you want to build so much certainty, you want to get to the exchange of value where you've built so much excitement between you solving a problem that you just slide it in and you put it in right behind the contingency agreement, and it's a real simple deal. It's not in any sort of way misleading, because the truth is that you have a contract to complete the repairs, but you need to be able to quarterback the claim correctly. You need to be able to have enough power to be able to review the policy, to be able to enforce the full policy limits, to be able to threaten that insurance company and communicate. And inherently, what it does is it protects you from getting screwed by the customer. So, what are the biggest questions about assignment of claim? How do I sell it? First up, you got to get the contingency agreement. So, contingent upon approval, the only out-of-pocket expense that the customer is going to have is their deductible. So when I tell them that I work on a contingency of success, that I'm going to invest in the proper documentation of the damage to their property, the moisture, of how to actually restore their property to its pre-storm condition, make them whole again, up to building code. Do you realize, in researching all current building codes and manufacturer specifications and taking it line by line, a lot of times you can add a lot of value to a property. In order to do this, in order to enforce this like building code and ordinance section of your policy, I have to have the assignment of benefits, because essentially it's only paid if it's incurred, and I do not have the rights to talk about it unless I have this piece of paper signed, which is going to really hurt us. Sir, you want me to put the roof back on your property? You want me to put a better roof? Say it's a flat roof. You want me to put pitch on your roof? You want me to bring it to code and bring insulation in? These things are not going to be covered. They're not going to be compensated for. The only way that we can enforce what's actually the contract between you and your insurance company is if you let me truly have the power to quarterback this claim. The contract protects you. This right here is based on a contingency of success. And contingent upon insurance approval, we're going to complete the repair. Sign here. Okay, great. Now they sign that piece of paper. Now the next piece of paper, the assignment of claim, is just the next piece of paper. Most of the time, they don't even think about it. Now, if they're smart, they say, hey, I'm not assigning you my claim. Well, there's a lot of other contractors out there. There's a guy, I won't even mention his name. Let's just call him Contractor Red. Let's call him Paranormal. And, you know, I'm a prospector, a natural door-to-door guy. That means I go out and knock doors, create network opportunities, build jobs, get referrals. I'm residential turned commercial, but I got to see the result. I got to see the ball go through the hoop. And I've got to get my pipeline big and my opportunities bigger so that I'm not always holding on to one deal, one negotiation. Your strongest point in negotiation is to have more deals. Well, some people don't believe that way. Some people believe the strongest point in negotiation is to abuse the assignment of claim. Let me just walk you through a scenario. Scenario A, hotel. And hotel basically has such and such amount of damage. Hotel has to be evacuated. So what happens is, with EMS, emergency mitigation services, you have hourly billing, you have lots of different things like fans, dehumidifiers, all these things are quantified. But of course, if you fluff a roof estimate with some different components on the roof, you can't always see it. If you're fluffing an EMS estimate, you don't have the men on the ground, if you're not there with the supervision that you're charging for, if you got more days for dehumidifiers or more dehumidifiers than you actually had, you can cause some major concerns with the insurance company and you can get your claim shut down. One of these properties in Daytona Beach had a $3 million or so mitigation bill. The insurance company shut down the claim. Contractor continued to pursue it, ripped off the roof, couldn't pay all their contractors. You know, it's a good guy, it's just bad strategy. And essentially, the hotel's out of business a year and a half later. The hotel's still empty. It's a deal that I actually looked up to somebody for closing got spoiled like the most disgusting bowl of spoiled milk. And it's because, like, you know, people don't know how to just get an agreed price, how not to be greedy. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Your job as a contractor is to make people whole. If you're going to go into this whole idea that I'm going to get the claim and that I'm going to exploit the insurance company for everything that they can get, you're going to reap the problems. Now, let's say said contractor's got 68 lawsuits across the state of Florida. Now, what kind of target does that put on your back when you go to talk to the insurance company reasonably? See, for me, I'm the opposite. Y'all think I'm crazy and talking sky diamonds and yeah, but you see, my network, they see that I can complete forensic estimates, that I have a team of professional project managers, that we're out here in the commercial marketplace. And so I actually get people from the other side of the fence that want my help. And do you think somebody from the insurance companies, from the insurance adjusting firms, from the insurance agencies are going to take the side of the fence of someone who's suing the insurance company 70 to 100 times over a 2-year time period? Hell no. Hell no, they're not. And everybody should exhaust all resources to make their customers whole. This actual hotel owner has a like the contractor's no longer allowed on property. A new contractor had to be paid to finish the job. It was supposed to be a $10 to $11 million claim. Contractor A went for $20 million, and hell, he might get it, but he did lose a lot of basically, in my mind, credibility with the insurance company, with the town, with the building owner that he contracted with originally. And to be thrown off of one of my projects is something that I desperately, desperately fight every day to avoid. And so you want to avoid, I'd say that's what we call an example of abuse of the assignment of claim. And it just has to do with overbilling. It just has to do with overdoing it, over-negotiating. And you just have to be recognize an opportunity to just move on to the next deal. So the assignment of claim is important. It's changed our life. We're going to move on to the next subject. We're pulling up to a commercial deal. And I just want y'all to know that it's really the most gut-wrenching feeling in the world to spend all kinds of time on a commercial customer. Say one of your contingency agreements or handshake agreements, contingent upon approval, they're going to give you the job, and now they don't. Makes you feel absolute like it's the worst feeling in the world. And if you have the assignment of claim, you can avoid that. You can avoid being called acting like a public adjuster when they tell you that they have concerns about people abusing the assignment of claim. You have to use your case studies. You have to show them that you're about getting a fair agreed price. Basically, getting some referrals from the other side of the fence, like insurance agents, adjusters, and people in the carrier world, can really validify you in the end. So you should think about how to go about your disaster recovery plan. Do you want to do less jobs and expose every weakness of the insurance company's policy, take every claim to court, go on a 2 to 5 year cycle for every one of your projects, or do you want to actually move quick and get an agreed price? So, in my mind, it's simple and easy. Definitely get the referral, build the network, do right in the world, and get the referrals. But I got to go look at this commercial roof. We're going to come back with Alan Charity talking about growing your Instagram. And we're also going to be talking about a little bit more what's going on here in South Florida with this $100 billion storm. I got to go look at this monster. We'll see you in a minute. Coming back to you, man. We're giving you a report from the tip of the whip. South Florida, $100 billion in damage. We're actually in Central Florida now. About to get out at the second commercial property of the day. And this is retarded down here, guys. I just want you to know $100 billion over 5 years. The one thing about Florida is it's a great place to recruit. It's got laws, like a 25% rule. If 25% of the roof has to be manipulated, the whole roof gets bought. It's got rules set up that if you actually disagree with the insurance company and have to pursue litigation, that you have a lot of leg room. And it's got assignment of benefits. And it's somewhat accepted, but it is also often, you know, objected to.
But what we have here is a community. You can build referral partners with public adjusters like no place ever. You can build referral partnerships with general contractors as a roofer like no place ever. You can build in a property owner community where most of the people that come down here are older people potentially, and they don't want to manage their own roofing projects. So what do? They live in a condo, they live in an association. Association manages it, or a property manager manages it. And essentially, one person can handle a lot of roofs, and this is $100 billion. I got one client that I'm looking at 52 different locations. We are on a pursuit, and we want to share with you what's going on, man. What's going on is, this is like the new age of storm chasing. Increase your average transaction value. Learn how to sell commercial roofs. Penetrate the Florida market. Florida is a great home to come to over the winter. Basically, as a storm restoration company, one of the biggest challenges is finding top talent. Well, the top talent apparently wants to live in Florida, because I don't seem to have a problem every single winter, because there's going to be a wind, there's going to be a hail, there's going to be some sort of a hurricane event potentially this year. Okay, is that tile? That's the one? Nice. We got us a four scores and 7 years ago. The tile roof. It looks like kind of new though. Probably kind of new. That church is a good one. But see, the thing is you got these major markets. You got the East Coast, Daytona, Cocoa. Cocoa got pounded twice, two different storms. One storm hit Daytona harder. One storm hit Cocoa harder. You got Orlando, biggest metropolitan area. 1 out of 10 roofs damaged. Commercial roofs have hidden damage, and so almost every roof is compromised. Then you got Fort Myers, you got Lehigh Acres, which is a little suburb of Fort Myers with a lot of comps and a lot of damage. You got Naples, Marco, you got Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and realistically, there is little fingerlings of damage everywhere in between. And so, this is crazy. I don't know how long we're going to be working Hurricane Irma claims, probably for the next 4 or 5 years. But it is a great place to build experience in increasing your average transaction value. There's no other place that you can learn how discontinued tile works better. There's also no other place right now where there's more discontinued clay tile, which allows you to get into some of these like Ludo high-end clay numbers. And so that's the Miami market. Miami's full of clay. But I really highly encourage anyone to come on down to Florida and take a look at what this is, because inherently, the companies that are working the storm are going to break records. You're going to look at the companies that didn't come to this, that didn't position themselves, and then the next time the storm happens, I'm going to have that much leg up. And ultimately, like this time around, let's say we do $50 million and $50 million in commercial, $50 million in residential, $50 million in commercial. Well, next time it's going to be 250 to 350 million in residential and commercial. And so the one thing is that it's such a place where the barrier to entry is high that you can get so much spread, so much deep referral partnerships, and the marketing and branding becomes ever more popular, ever more important. Google pay-per-click advertising is working big for me. Telemarketing is working big for me. My door-to-door soldiers out there being great networkers, mini brand producers, and hardcore door-to-door closers is absolutely duplicating the brand. But South Florida is a just breeding ground for like almost two separate operations. You've got your northern and southern operation, your residential and commercial division, and it's just a freak amount of freedom to be able to travel all this wind-damaged area and pluck commercial deals, find referral partnerships, and really work in a land of milk and honey where there is no competition. There is some. We got to get up here on a 5-story roof. We don't have roof access to. They might have a problem with us coming in. But you know, one thing about Florida is that all of the rules are set up for the property owner and contractor. And we think that over the next 2 years, contractors that use this place as a place to accelerate are going to gain a competitive edge on the rest of the industry that nobody else can make up. Because we can recruit the top talent, because we can put them in a vehicle, strategic response networks. Like right now we're working on a network where we're getting lots of referrals. Well, I'm plugging people in. Those people ain't gonna wanna leave Florida. And it's just gonna continue and continue to grow with momentum. So start building your legacy here now. And come take a tour of my office. I invite you at 1250 Tamiami Naples or the one in Daytona Beach. We'll go on a little commercial tour of the storm whale hunt. And, you know, there's no better look. So if y'all are interested in a tour of the storm, definitely hit up Cagney, me. Hit me up on social media, message me. I'll tell you what it takes. I'll show you exactly what it includes. I'm going to go look at the second large loss for the day, and we'll be back and talk to you about growing your Instagram ball.
Rolling down the street after a big zero. Sometimes that's the name of the game with commercial, and that happened to be our day. We are back to the Daily Diamond, and I don't know if you've ever wasted a whole fucking day, but I didn't do that. Just half of one. Sometimes in commercial business and in roofing, that's what it seems like. Three steps forward, two steps back. And I'll tell you what, this brings to me, I guess, a really important thing. What's the most important? I guess we had a mystery guest here ask me, you know, there's more and more people getting the roofing business, and every single year you see the business accelerate with new people. And I said, you know, that's one side of it, but you don't even realize over the last, let's see, I've been in the business 13 years, the same people that I know from the beginning of this deal, I mean, yeah, there's a few of them that have been in the business this long, but considering that I've been and interacted and worked with thousands of people, I can literally count on, you know, almost two hands the people that I've interacted with that are still in the business, still rocking and rolling after 10 years plus. And why is that? I think the main thing is the mindset of a insurance restoration guy, mindset of a salesperson, mindset of a contractor. You know, we have to sell. There's a lot of things outside of our control. Even after we sold the job, we have to sell when we build, we have to sell when we collect, we have to sell when there's a problem. And we always don't control our money. I mean, you may work for somebody that controls your money. You may not like your boss. You may, just like me, let me see here. Just like me in property owners in situations when people owe you money and they can't pay or won't pay or have some sort of evil intent, you know, it literally will knock the sails out of your, you know, knock the wind out of your sails. And for me, I guess the most important thing is that I always reassess, I always start from scratch, and you kind of got to be like Deion Sanders and have a fast forgetter. You have to forget the deals that you don't get. You have to absolutely, you know, relive the moments that you've had success, focus on recreating those things and duplicating that successful action, but starve all the doubt that comes along with inconsistency, not getting the result that you seek. And it sounds really ridiculous, but the mindset of an entrepreneur is tunnel vision, is discipline. It is some sort of a racehorse with blinders. And, you know, look, there's a lot of different times that you have to pick yourself off the ground in a moment where you don't feel like that you can take and put one step in front of another. But, you know, I went to a conference and I listened to the Iron Cowboy, a guy who does, you know, an Ironman is a marathon, a 2-mile swim, and a 50-mile bike ride. I have no clue exactly what it is, but this guy did 50 Ironmans in 50 days. And, you know, look, essentially, when you get to a point where you can't go forward anymore, there is literally always one little bit of movement. There's always one inch. There's one step. There's picking your head up. That's taking a deep breath. That's actually getting off of your knees, off of the ground, standing up, putting one foot in front of another. And as a business owner, as a salesperson, what happens is you have this mindset. You write your goals down in the morning, or you realize that this is what you want to do. This is how you want to do it. These are my goals. This is how I'm going to get there. Then you start to visualize what it's like when you get there. You start to realize. You start to play these pictures in front of your head. A lot of times when I think about a marketing campaign or how I'm going to scale my company or a commercial job that I'm working, I can literally visualize what it's like after I've closed the deal. And sometimes celebrating success too early can be a problem. But more importantly, when you take ownership of it in your mind, what you do is you fight for your right to defend it. And that's the difference. Because when you're defending freedom, when you're defending your life, when you're defending everything that you're about, you can always take one more step. You can always pick your foot up and take one more step. And so I guess the biggest reason why a lot of the people that I have been around in this business, and you know, there's been some really good people, and the people that are really good in the business, that are good at business, do stick around. But the ones that don't have the discipline, the ones that don't have the the mindset of somebody who could forget the circumstances that are outside of your control or in the past and take one step in front of another action. Now, whether you have to pray about it to your higher brother, whether you have to write your goals down, whether you have to get up and go pump iron, whether you make hundreds of cold calls a day or want to find a way to market yourself online so that you only get qualified candidates, I can tell you, sometimes you do have to celebrate your victories, because celebrating your victories, it gets you through these moments in timing. And a lot of times you can kind of get conditioned to a point where, you know, you don't really get that excited about the results. And you got to be careful of that, because one thing I think our business is to me like a cage fight. And you get your ass kicked by the homeowners, you get your ass kicked by the crews. Hell, sometimes you might get your ass kicked by OSHA, the state, your salespeople. And I got a guy in here that'll tell you what it's like to get the shit kicked out of you and keep fighting. Alan here, Alan Charity, is a, how long you been fighting wrestling here? Let me tell you about it.
I've been competing, I've been wrestling since I was in high school. I've been competing in mixed martial arts since 2009. And yeah, I can agree with you that definitely, I mean, that I've been able to understand how everything that I've learned in martial arts or in wrestling is transferable into my life, is transferable into my business. And that, and understanding how to fight in a real physical manner, has given me a different mentality in business and a different mentality in my life as well, and also given me a willingness to not accept less, to not accept failure, to not accept quitting, and to not accept doubt, and to always understand that the thing is that when you learn something in a physical form, which is fighting, you learn it faster than life, because sometimes it takes longer for the things in life to kind of kick you in your nuts, but when you get kicked in the nuts, you know it. So it's like understanding what you can do, you know, about your problems and doing it is two different things. And knowing who you are is the ability to take that action.
What was your biggest challenge to grow as a fighter?
My biggest challenge to grow as a fighter, I think that it was the rest of my life.
So getting people to show up to your fights.
That wasn't hard. It was. What people believed in me as a fighter. The biggest challenge, because I am a fighter. That's just who I am. I'm born a fighter. You know, fighters are born. They're not made. They're not bred. They're not, you know, you don't even become a fighter. You are one. You're born one. And so I was born to be that. But everything else in my life is kind of like foreign to me, because I'm at home in the fight. I'm made for it. That's why you see me. I wake up every morning at 6 o'clock and I get started and I get going. And I don't stop until I go to sleep at night, because I'm born for the fight. I'm born to keep it going. I desire the victory. I desire the success. And I think that's the difference between people. Like, a lot of people confuse dedication and obsession. And I think that they're very close cousins. I think they're brothers, because I know that I obsess about the things. I think about the things that I want. And those things come to me because I think about them, because I'm diligent about it.
What does training have to do with your success in the ring? How much?
Everything.
What is the key? Your
training to win tip?
My most important training to win tip in what regard? Business?
No, man, just in life. I mean, the conditioning that it takes to become skilled enough to risk it all.
The condition that it takes to become skilled enough to risk it all. Well, I think that I got a philosophy, and my philosophy is that you got to risk it all to have it all. If you want to go big, then you can't be afraid of what you're going to lose. And a lot of people are afraid to lose what they got, and they're too scared to get what they want. And
so if you accept the worst case scenario, like getting the shit kicked out of you, and that's okay, then you can actually fight.
Yes, for me, it was like I had to accept the fact that I could die doing this, and I had to be okay with it, and I had to confront that fear, and I had to accept the fact that I could get my teeth kicked out, I could break my nose, it could disfigure me and change the way I look forever. I had to be okay with that. I had to be okay with all that stuff. I had to say, you know what? It doesn't matter. What matters is that I get in here and face the fact that all that can happen and overcome it right now in this moment with my mind and say, so what? So what? That ain't gonna stop me from walking in the cage and closing the door and hold my hand up at the end victorious. It ain't gonna stop me. It don't matter what can happen. Do I want it or not? The question is, do I want the belt? The question is, do I want the trophy? The question is, do I want the win? The question is, do I want to remember that I walked out of the cage scared to fight? Or do I want to remember that I did get my nose broke, but I stepped in there and stood up like a man and scrapped it out to the end and everybody saw me? Because they're watching you no matter what you do. You could get scared, run off. You're going to remember that about yourself the rest of the days you live your life. You want to remember that?
No.
Exactly. So you better get your ass up and get in the cage and fight. Get your nose broke. Fuck it. It's what you got to do.
You heard it first. I don't know if you're living like a bitch. Don't get soft. Don't get soft. Because when I come on your street, when I get in your commercial six-pack, when a hailstorm hits your backyard, we got an elite team of fighters coming to actually take your territory over. And it's not just me. There's a whole bunch of me's. There's a whole bunch of guys like me. And, you know, really, we're only out to provide for our family. But, you know, I've knocked 50,000 doors. I've been in a lot of confrontations. I have dealt with every single blow, it seems like, and then something new happens and I learn more. And I am obsessed with getting better. I'm obsessed with, you know, figuring out how to knock down bigger heavyweight goals. And whenever you feel like you're wasting your time, whenever you feel like you're down and out, whenever you feel like, you know, maybe this isn't for you, visualize yourself backing up like a little bitch running like fucking Floyd Mayweather in a UFC fight. Is that how you want to be remembered in life? Is that what you want your career in the storm restoration business to be about? This is a door-to-door sport. It's full contact. You got to get up in the morning and work till dark. Then you got to follow up relentlessly and figure out what the biggest toad, the biggest problem, the biggest, nastiest complaint is of the day. Then you got to go take care of that every single fucking day. And yeah, you got to stay organized and do what you say you're going to do. Yeah, it's relentlessly crazy whenever everybody's complaining all the time. Some shit out of your control happens or someone uses you and really all you're trying to do is, you know, earn their business. But all they want you to do is just get them more money, you know. But look, nothing's going to stop me from the mission. Nothing's going to stop you from your mission as long as you see the vision. You be that vision, you take ownership of it, you fight to defend it with your life, you realize that you're not gonna go down like a little bitch, you're not gonna be soft, you're not gonna quit, you're not gonna cry, you're not gonna squill, you're gonna go out there and leave a legacy, you're gonna get back up, you're gonna put one foot in front of another, and you're gonna keep knocking doors, you're gonna keep prospecting, you keep training in Sky Diamonds University, you're gonna keep following along other mentors in the industry. I'm not the only one, there's a lot of people to follow. You know, you hear me mention Grant a lot, but I follow a guy by the name of Patrick Bet David. He's got an insurance agency that's got, how many people? Like 8,000?
Thousands.
I think 8,000 people that are selling life insurance for him. Check him out. His name's Patrick Bet David, Valuetainment. He's got some realistic, because he's actually a business owner that actually has thousands of independent sales contractors. To me,
He comes from Iran. He has an incredible story as an immigrant and what he's had to overcome. He's built it all from nothing. His little perspective on perseverance is it's cold, man. He's a fighter, and you know you want to basically protect yourself from being a little bitch, blaming other people for your situation. Great salespeople, great fighters, they take responsibilities for every loss. Every single time that you don't win, there's nobody else to look at in a cage match but yourself when you lose. And the same thing goes in the storm business. I don't know why everybody can't have the same success that the people that do, because it seems pretty easy. But a lot of times it's just because you're soft as shit and you quit. So don't be soft today. That's the end of the day. The Daily Diamond, third episode. Hope y'all have a great day. We'll catch up with y'all tomorrow.